This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I do indeed have the best Dave Johnson impersonation that anybody in the DMV would ever hear. What up? What's happening? Welcome inside the Hoffman Show right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. The Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham, I will take you up to 7 o'clock before we hand things over to BetMGM tonight. Loaded program for you all. We'll have a bunch of guests stop by, but let's just be real about what the lead is here this afternoon. The Washington Commanders back out on the practice field, getting ready for the Dallas Cowboys, coming off two games offensively where we did not see this group play well. We will do a deep dive into the Washington Commanders offense coming up at about 4:30 with our pal Mark Bullock. Got the opportunity to catch up with him, our favorite Brit covering the Washington Commanders. Got into a lot of stuff with Mark Bullock. It ended up being a two-part conversation. We will air the first part of that conversation coming up at 4:30. We'll air the second part of it coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But one of the things that me and Mark talked about was the struggles of this Washington Commanders offense over the past two games. And I think anybody that is being unbiased and objective about what we saw against Pittsburgh, what we saw against Philadelphia, I think you can comfortably and confidently say that, this group has some work to do. Point blank, period. And lucky for this team, coming off of a two-game stretch where you regressed back to the mean when it comes to your production offensively, you get to go up against the Cowboys team on Sunday that is, to keep it honest, is irrelevant. I mean, you want to talk about a team that nobody gives a rat's ass about? It is the Dallas Cowboys. And I had to sit and listen to you all for 3 hours, act as if you care about this rivalry. And I get what it means to some of the older folks in our fan base, but let's just be upfront and honest about what Cowboys Week is. It's just another game. It's just another game. And if you feel otherwise, let me know. 301-230-0980 is the number. But I'll be honest with you. I get annoyed as hell when I have to see that, on the schedule. The Dallas Cowboys game means nothing, and it should mean nothing to everyone in this area. You know why? Because for the last 20 plus years, this rivalry has been completely irrelevant. I said it during the offseason. Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese has more juice than Dallas Washington Week. Dr. Henry A. Wise High School against C.H. Flowers High School has more juice than Commanders and Cowboys. It just does. It just does. And it's our fault. We have been largely irrelevant for the better part of the last 25 years. And it feels like every time we are relevant, the Cowboys are irrelevant. So if you think this rivalry matters and you want to play semantics, have fun. You're probably the same people that believe in Santa Claus. You're probably the same people that believe in the Easter Bunny. You're probably the same people that believe in the damn Tooth Fairy. The Commanders-Cowboys rivalry is nothing but a fraud. It's an idea. It is a figment of our imagination. That's it. It's like Groundhog Day. Doesn't matter. It's another day on the calendar. Seriously. Me and Chris Russell, me and the Roosters rivalry is more heated than Commanders and Cowboys. And then what's so amazing, we've been so bad over the past 20 years that a lot of y'all undercover Cowboy fans, have switched back to the good side just for this season because we're 7-4 and everything's going well and we got a quarterback and we're all back and happy. I got to talk to a good amount of Cowboy fans about a weekend, 2 weekends ago out at a bar out in Largo. And I said, man, Cowboy fans to me are the most punch drunk. I thought you all were punch drunk and didn't know anything. Cowboy fans are even worse. Cowboy fans are even worse. That's probably the rivalry. The rivalry exists off the field. It's not an on-the-field rivalry. It's an off-the-field rivalry. For whose fan base has their head further stuck up their ass? That is the rivalry that exists with Cowboys in Washington. Point blank. Has nothing to do with on the field. And the interesting part about it, the only little bit of juice that maybe exists is for some of these players on this Washington Commanders coaching staff and coaches, excuse me, some of these players on the roster and some of these coaches on the coaching staff, formerly of the Cowboys. So there are some guys that may take it personal. Like one thing we don't talk about, Joe Witt Jr. The Cowboys passed on Joe Witt Jr. But we thought, or for what it's way it was reported, I guess, passed on Joe Witt and made Mike Zimmer their defensive coordinator. Maybe it means a lot to Coach Witt. Tyler Biadasz, the Cowboys basically said, to hell with you, you're not good enough. We're going to go draft a rookie to replace you because we don't think you're worth the money you're asking for. It's probably a rivalry week to those guys, but not for the legacy and the tradition that we have here locally. It doesn't exist. For Dorrance Armstrong, they didn't renew his contract. He's probably a guy that takes this week personally. But, man, y'all got to miss me with all that. I'm not willing to spend too much time talking about a rivalry that, for the most part, is made up. The last time the Cowboys and Commanders rivalry was relevant, a lot of you all, your beards were less gray, your bellies didn't stick out as far. I mean, that is how long ago it's been. That's how long it's been since this rivalry was relevant. That's just what it is. That's just what it is. Now, coming up Sunday, it's an opportunity for Washington to right their wrongs offensively. It's an opportunity for Washington to get back on track. They're losers of two straight. This is the largest stretch of adversity that they've gone through under this new regime. And quite frankly, they need to win on Sunday. I hinted at it yesterday towards the end of the show. It is a must-win game Sunday against Dallas. If you lose Sunday to this sorry iteration of the Cowboys, I don't know what to think about you. I don't know how, in my right mind, am I supposed to be asked to take you seriously. That's just where we are right now. There's a bunch of different things that we'll discuss here this afternoon surrounding this team, but I'll start by saying the rivalry means nothing to me, but at the same time, this is a must-win football game. And we'll get specific on this as the show rolls on, but I was talking to Anthony about this before the show. My expectations, well, a lot of your expectations, rather, feels like has changed over the past week, over the past 8 days. Your opinion has changed drastically on this football team for some folks. For me, it hasn't. After the losses to Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, I think it's very clear that the Washington Commanders are exactly who we thought they were, or who I've been saying that they are. They're not a Super Bowl contender. They're a B-tier team in the NFC. And that's okay when you're in year one of a rebuild. That's fine when you're in year one of a rebuild. But what we got to do locally is recalibrate our expectations. And I've fallen victim to this as well. And we'll hear from Dan Quinn and Jayden Daniels as the show rolls on here this afternoon. But it's very clear and obvious to me that against Philadelphia, Jayden Daniels, look at what's coming up next on NFL Live. Do you see the graphic on the TV? It said falling off a cliff with a K-L-I-F-F. So they're talking about the Commanders offense. So it's now national news that the Washington Commanders offense struggled against Philadelphia. They did struggle against Philadelphia. They struggled a little bit against Pittsburgh too. But I'll say this. I have the utmost confidence that this group, off of 10 days rest, will right their wrongs Sunday against Dallas. Not because it's a rivalry game, just because they're flat out better. 301-230-0980 is the number. Am I speaking in hyperbole? Am I over-exaggerating? As a 27-year-old, the Commanders-Cowboys rivalry means as much to me as whether or not you all like me or not. I can give a rat's ass. I don't care. Caitlin Clark, I'm telling you, we can go through, we can list some of the top rivalries right now in pro sports. Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese is up there. I look at Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns is a bigger rivalry than Commanders Cowboys at this point. Seriously. I was about to make a hairline joke, but I'm going to cool it. I'm going to cool it. No, I wasn't even looking at you. I wasn't even looking at you, Anson. Cool out. Cool out. But no, there are so many things that are more important than Cowboys Commanders in 2024. Some of y'all got a bigger rivalry with the IRS than the Commanders have with the Cowboys at this point. 301-230-0980 is the number. We got a lot coming up here in this afternoon show. I told you we got a jam-packed guest list. I'll play you part one of my two-part sit-down with Commanders insider Mark Bullock. You can subscribe to his Substack, markbullock.substack.com, one of the absolute best when it comes to breaking down the X's and O's with the Washington Commanders. He'll join us at 4:15, coming up at, 4:30, coming up at 5:15. Our pal J.P. Finley will join us live from out in Ashburn. We'll get his thoughts on what Jayden Daniels and Dan Quinn had to say at the podium. And then in the 6 o'clock hour, Tony Massenburg, Monumental Sports Network, going to join us. We get his thoughts on the Washington Wizards and what the hell is going on during this 9-game losing streak. All that more coming up on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, we'll let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. He spoke to the media after the first day of practice for the week, and he gave some key injury updates. We'll let you hear from DQ next. Just getting rocking and rolling here on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Hoffman Show right here on the Team 980. We're also streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Lynnell Willingham sitting in for Craig Hoffman. One final day. Craig back in the saddle tomorrow. As I mentioned going into the break, a lot to get to here in the program. Coming up at about 4:30, part one of my sit-down with Commanders film guru Mark Bullock, one of the absolute best covering this team from an X's and O's standpoint. We'll ask him the million-dollar question that a lot of you have been asking. What is the issue with the Washington Commanders offense, and has Cliff Kingsbury been figured out? We will ask Mark Bullock that coming up at about 4:30. 5:15, we'll take a trip out to Ashburn. J.P. Finley joins us and will give the latest from practice, including some of the comments we heard from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn. We will get to some of those comments here momentarily. We said this yesterday. In terms of the injury situation with Jayden Daniels, that's the one thing that is going to be asked each and every week from here on out, maybe each and every practice from here on out. I still am going back and forth on what I believe and what I don't believe, but I'll say this. I don't think he's 100%. I also don't think he's damaged enough where it would be a detriment to the team for him to play. I don't think we've reached that level. I still think he right now gives this team the best chance to win, and I don't think you're doing any further damage by playing him. I do still believe that the problems with this offense, Cliff Kingsbury, unfairly, in my opinion, is getting all the blame for Washington's shortcomings offensively. There's a lot that can improve on the Commanders' offense. And it's not as if we're in the midst of some elongated stretch of poor play. You're really just looking at the Philadelphia game, because I can still argue that against Pittsburgh, offensively, they played well enough to win against arguably the best defense in football right now. So I think some of the comments about the demise of the Commanders offense is greatly exaggerated. But there still are some things that concerned me from the Pittsburgh game, from the Philadelphia game. One thing was the performance of this offensive line. Dan Quinn spoke earlier today and had this to say about the current status of the Commanders offensive line. We'll get that to you here momentarily. But earlier today, Dan Quinn said a lot at the podium, and it feels like to me they understand internally, or they hear internally, what is going on right now with this group. They get it 110%. They get it 110%. It's a unit in a group right now that simply needs to get better. It's a group that simply needs to get better. And one of the big things that stood out to me today during Dan Quinn's press conference is talking about the health of this Washington Commanders offensive line and how all guys on the offensive line were a full go today in practice. So we know Tyler Biadasz has been nicked up. We know Andrew Wiley has been nicked up. We know Brandon Coleman has been nicked up with a shoulder injury. Dan Quinn earlier today said all guys on the offensive line are a full go today in practice. So that leads me to believe that they should play better coming up Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the threat that the Cowboys provide on the interior of their defensive front is not as deadly as what you had to go up against the past two games against Keanu Benton, against Cam Hayward, against Jalen Carter, against Jordan Davis. This is a different group. Most of Dallas's pass rushing expertise is a result of what they have on the edge. And Micah Parsons will play this weekend. Deron Bland coming back into the lineup as well. But I want to focus on Micah Parsons. Brandon Coleman the last two games, I thought, just wasn't as good. Some of it has to do with the shoulder injury. Some of it has to do with the opponent. Pittsburgh's pass rushing trio, quartet, whatever you want to call them, there's about three, four, or five guys they have on the edge that wreak havoc. It's not just T.J. Watt. That group for Pittsburgh, in terms of the different edges that he had to face, probably his most difficult assignment that he's going to face all year long, point blank. And then you go to the Philadelphia game, and then you look at the interior of Washington's offensive line. They struggled once again with Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. But on the edge, you saw Brandon Graham give Brandon Coleman trouble. You saw Bryce Huff give Coleman trouble. You saw Nolan Smith give Brandon Coleman trouble. If there was an area of the offense that I was concerned with and that needs to get on track, it's the offensive line. I look at that group, and it's not just in pass pro. It's their ability to run, block, and target as well. That's a group that I think must improve. And looking at the opponent, yeah, Dallas has Micah Parsons, but the rest of their front, I think Washington should be able to handle. In turn, I think this running game against Dallas Sunday has to get going first. In terms of what's most important for Sunday, they got to get the running game back on track, back on schedule. We saw it in spurts against Philadelphia, non-existent against Pittsburgh without B-Rob in the lineup. But against Dallas this week, you have a premium opportunity to go out and do whatever you want on the ground. Dallas the last 2 weeks have been outscored 68-16. And on the ground, if you got to watch Monday Night Football, Joe Mixon did whatever he wanted. He had a 45-yard scamper. It was 20 carries, 110, and 3 touchdowns. And oh, by the way, C.J. Stroud had a 20-yard scramble as well. So the discipline that we've seen from opposing defenses against Washington's pass rush was not existent as well. So it's tough. It is tough. I think the offensive line, though, in my opinion, is a group that, when healthy, I think they've shown this year they're pretty damn good. They are. Against Philadelphia, and this is the one schematic difference that I wanted to mention, one thing that happened against Pittsburgh is with them sending five more than Washington was accustomed to, there was some communication issues up front between Tyler Biadasz, Jaden Daniels, and that entire operation. There were scenarios against Pittsburgh where there were free rushers, and obviously that is not the plan. So maybe moving forward, that's something that also has to improve. Communication is a part of this thing that I think we take for granted, and a lot of the times it is not a problem until it becomes a problem. It was a problem against Pittsburgh, and I think against Philadelphia, I don't think the communication up front was a problem, but with Philadelphia only rushing four, dropping seven into coverage, it was on this front five, right, to win their one-on-one matchups. A lot of the times we've seen Washington leave backs, receivers, tight ends in the chip. You didn't see that that much against the Philadelphia Eagles. You just didn't. And I think it impacted the rhythm of this timing game, the rhythm and timing of this passing game. I think Jaden Daniels was under duress. I don't think he responded very well to pressure against Philadelphia, but it's all a part of the bigger equation, and it's all a part of the bigger overarching theme here. They've got to get better offensively. The two-game stretch, we saw things that we just simply haven't been accustomed to seeing. 301-230-0980 is the number. My two-part conversation with Commanders film guru Mark Bullock is coming up next. But first, we'll go out to Keith, who wants to tap in. What's going on, Keith?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, look, I'm 62 years old, and I've been a Redskins fan forever, you know. And there is, you hit it right on the head. There is no rivalry. The rivalry stopped, I don't know how long ago, when they got lopsided and they were kicking our butts every time we played. That just wiped the rivalry out. We'll probably have to win both of these games this year and both of the games next year for it even start to spark a rivalry, you know. So you hit that right on the head. I'm in full agreement with you 100%. The only thing that I was in, you know, like, because I love you, and you have a lot of energy. You are really good, and I don't sugarcoat and don't suck up, and everybody on my staff knows it. Man, he's straightforward. You have a lot of good energy. You're good. The only thing I said, from an old man to a young man, is never tell them you don't care what we think about you. We as your fans think about you, because you do. You know, I would never say that with my business. I do care what people think, and, you know. So just kind of like, you know, if you don't mind, you know, I don't know if you said it wrong, like, you know, you're trying to suck up to nobody type thing. I didn't know how you meant it, but
I get what you're saying, Keith. How about this, Keith? I care what you think.
You ain't Chris. Y'all my man.
I appreciate you, Keith.
Huh?
I appreciate you, Keith.
You awesome.
301-230-0980. I guess I did come off a little egotistical when I said that, but I meant it. I don't care what you all think about me. Is that a bad thing? Do I need to be coached up on that? I appreciate your compliments, though. Always. But if... Never mind. You all get what I'm saying. 301-230-0980 is the number. When we come back, part one of my sit-down with Commanders film guru Mark Bullock. That's next here on the Team 980. Welcome back to the Hoffman Show right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham sitting with you till 7 o'clock. Joining us right now on the guest hotline is one of my absolute favorites covering the Washington Commanders, my pal Mark Bullock, who you can follow on the old X app at Mark Bullock NFL. And make sure you check out his Substack at markbullock.substack.com for plenty of inside information and some of the best film breakdowns you will get in the area on the Washington Commanders. Mark, I appreciate you giving us some time, my man.
Of course, anytime.
So obviously the big hot button item right now surrounding the Washington Commanders is the offensive struggles we've seen here in the past 2 weeks. Mark, when you look at the Pittsburgh game and the Philadelphia game, what have you seen from this offense, and how much do you think the short week impacted the group versus Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think that short week was a big factor in it, especially, you know, added on the lack of the bye week being everyone else seems to be rested and Washington seems to be pretty beat up right now, especially up front. So I think that played a big factor into it. I think there's obviously been this narrative about, Kingsbury and his offense traditionally falling off. And I just feel like that couldn't be less of the case. I think it's just a case of they're quite beat up. And they put 27 points up on the Steelers and the Steelers going into that game were averaging 16 points a game defensively. So it's, they put up a good amount of points without playing fantastically. And we just saw this past week, the Ravens, who were the leading scoring team in the NFL, they couldn't put up more than 20. So I think Washington are doing fine. The Eagles just caught them on a short week and played well. You have to give credit to Philadelphia. They have a good defense. So, I think it's more circumstantial than anything else.
I agree with you 100%. I think, as you mentioned, I think Washington hadn't seen a defense like Pittsburgh. And as you mentioned, they did not struggle to move the football. A lot of self-inflicted wounds, I would describe it as, in terms of why that offense wasn't able to move the football the way that we're accustomed to seeing against Pittsburgh. And then Philadelphia, like you said, I attribute it a lot to the short week. And then some of the matchups up front, that Philadelphia pass rush is playing really well right now. And they did a really good job of disguising coverage at the snap and dropping guys, and only rushing four. When you look at what they struggle with against Philadelphia, pressure obviously is one thing. What have you seen from this Commanders offense in these pressure situations the last 2 weeks in particular? And then as a whole, what have you seen from Jaden in those pressure situations?
Yeah, I think it's been quite interesting to see the two different approaches, really, that the Steelers and the Eagles had to it. The Steelers played a bunch of man coverage, and the way they like to go about things naturally is blitz five or more and play man coverage behind it, whereas Philly play that Fangio quarters coverage, match coverage stuff where they just rush the front four and drop the rest into coverage, and they play some really solid zone and match concepts. So it was interesting to see those two defenses play quite differently, but still get some success either way. I think the thing that I took away from it was the offensive line. Not to say that they're bad, but they're not as good as perhaps what we had seen from the first few weeks. I think the Steelers game really showed that. I think early in that game, they recognized Pittsburgh were going to play a bunch of man coverage. And so Kingsbury wanted to try to get as many receivers out into routes to create those one-on-one matchups as possible. But they quickly figured out that the offensive line weren't going to handle going five on five. They needed that chip help that they've had the whole season. So that meant that you would have to keep a running back into chip, and then he'd not be able to run a proper route. And sometimes you'd have to keep a receiver or a tight end into chip as well. And again, that's limiting the number of routes you have. So, and that helped the Steelers have some success against them. Philly kind of had a good amount of success just because they have some real good guys up front. Their offensive tackles, Washington's offensive tackles were banged up going into the game. I think all three of the guys that can start were listed as questionable. And so they quite clearly needed the help. Brandon Coleman certainly needed that help on that left side against Josh Sweat. Once they got him some chip help, he did pretty well. But again, it kind of limits the amount of guys you can have going out into proper routes. And when Philly, you are dropping seven into coverage and you're limited to three or four receivers running proper routes, then suddenly you're limited in what you can do offensively. And if they're bracketing Terry McLaurin and taking him out of the game, then that really limits kind of what you can do. So I think that was kind of the takeaway, is that the offensive line, while it's played really well this year, it does require some help on the edge, and they're not ready to block one-on-one across the board if teams rush five, which most offensive lines in the league can't. But I think that was kind of the takeaway.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's because you saw them go up against this Giants front twice, and they were the NFL's league leader in sacks. Yet, you know, this offense was able to scheme things up to where, as you mentioned, not putting as many guys out into the route, leaving extra guys in the chip. it's something that, you know, while it benefits the offense from a protection standpoint, it hinders them as well. As you mentioned, it limits the amount of guys you can send out into the route. Against Philly in particular, you saw the rush plan kind of being mimicked in terms of their ability to keep Jaden Daniels within the pocket. We've seen that a lot the last 2 weeks. I guess the way I want to put this, Mark, is does Washington have enough around Jaden Daniels to support him if teams force him to play from within the pocket with the regularity that they have the last 2 weeks?
I think you would ideally like another weapon or two. I think they've gotten a hell of a lot out of the guys that they have.
Yes,
I think Noah Brown's come in and done really well. I think Zach Ertz, for what he is at this point in his career, is doing really well. But I think you could quite easily see in a year's time, this offense looks pretty different with another number two receiver opposite Terry and a new top tight end to be giving Jaden that option over the middle and maybe even a new running back out of the backfield to give him another option. I think they've really squeezed the juice out of this offense that they can get, and they're doing a really good job with it, the guys that are in there, but they are somewhat limited. So, yeah, I do think they would like to get another weapon or two in that system, but it is still the first year of the rebuild. And I think for the most part, the guys are doing pretty well and the scheme's doing pretty well to give them options. And, yeah, the defenses they're playing against are trying to keep Jaden in the pocket, but he's perfectly capable of winning from the pocket
for sure.
The thing I would say though, Mark, is
he needs more help, I would say, to win from the pocket consistently. The one thing that the Philadelphia did was be able to generate pressure with rushing four, and they're dropping seven into coverage. And normally he's had that extra hitch to be able to hold the football a little bit longer for things to develop. Against Philly, you didn't really see that. So that's kind of my question here. Do you think, yes, he could do it. Like, he has the talent and the ability, but there are things that he can't control that will impact their ability to just have a straight drop-back passing game.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I do think he kind of missed a few opportunities. Mm-hmm. The thing that we've seen the offense do so well at the start of the season was being incredibly efficient, and Jaden was getting the ball out on time and finding receivers and taking what was being given to him. And in this game, he didn't do that quite so well. And whether that's, you know, the pressure up front was getting to him a little bit more, or maybe it was the short week and the lack of preparation, or perhaps it was the rib injury and if that was playing into it at all. Because we saw him miss a few options like that.
Yeah.
There was that deep over to Noah Brown that everyone has seen where he short hopped it. That was wide open. There was a couple, there was a scramble in the early, I think it was the second or third drive on third and four, backed up near their own end zone, where he looked to scramble himself, and if he just dumped it off, Austin Ekeler was there for an easy first down. So there was options in this game for him to get the ball out underneath. And there were things that he has taken really well this year, especially going into this game. So it was kind of uncharacteristic to see him miss those opportunities to take what the defense was giving him and keep the chains moving. So I hesitate to say that they need to give him a ton more, because I think he has missed a few opportunities. But, you know, it would make it a lot easier if you have another top receiver or a tight end that can pick up some more yards after the catch than Zach Ertz can at this point in his career.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. You mentioned the efficiency. I believe the number is 8 for 26 on third down over the past 2 weeks. Big, big part of their efficiency and their success on third down, in my opinion, Mark, has been what Brian Robinson and this running game have brought to the table. When I look at the Philadelphia game, it's 3.9 yards a pop on 16 attempts. How do you feel like Kliff has done in terms of his patience with the running game against some of these stiffer defenses that they've played?
I don't think it's been too bad. I think you would like to see him press on it a little bit more. But a lot of what they get to in the running game are often RPOs, where it's packaged in with a passing option so that it's trying to give when they do hand it off, it's a Premier League you're handing off into, whether it's, you know, Jaden having the option to keep it himself or whether it's a bubble screen on the outside. You're trying to take defenders out of the box and give yourself a favorable look to run into. And if the defense just so happens to play the run more than the bubble screen on the outside, then suddenly you're going to be throwing those screens a lot more and you're not going to be handing the ball off as much. So that's been the way they've typically looked to get those premier running looks against good rushing defenses. And as I say, sometimes it's just the case that the defense decides to play the run and force you to throw those screens and hope that they can rally to those screens and get those short gains rather than giving up 20 or 30 yards on a bubble screen. So, generally I've been quite impressed with the run game. I think Cliff has done a pretty good job with it, and the scheme they have implemented a lot of stuff and they disguise it really well. And just about any offensive lineman at any time can pull. They pull, obviously, the guards, they pull the tackles, they even pull the center at times. And so they do a really good job, generally speaking, of confusing the defensive line of which guy's actually going to block him on any given play. And that helps when it comes to transitioning into the passing game, because if you run a play action, then you get a defensive end wondering, okay, am I being read by Jaden Daniels on a read option? Am I getting a guard pulling from the other side to block me? Am I getting a tight end trying to chip me? And suddenly they're stopping and thinking rather than rushing. So I think that all plays into it. But to go back to your original question, yeah, you could say maybe lean on the run a little bit more. And I think situationally, you know, when you start trailing a game, you start thinking, okay, we need to pass to catch up. And maybe when you're only down by one score, as they were for a part of that Eagles game, they could have leaned on the run a little bit more. But you know, that just comes with from playing in those situations and feeling the feel of the game, you kind of start pressing a little bit more. So you could maybe critique them for not leaning on that a little bit more.
One thing I think we could definitely agree on, it's for sure a huge part of what they want to do offensively. It sets the tone for them. And I also think it's helped out the offensive linemen in pass blocking, you know, in turn, the ability to get out and fire off and hit people makes it a little bit easier when you're dropping back in pass protect. That is part one of my conversation with Commanders film guru Mark Bullock. One of my absolute favorites to talk with. I haven't had many opportunities to talk with Mark because, well, he stays in Britain, and the time difference here to there, a little different. So anytime I get the opportunity to catch up with Mark, I make it happen. A ton to take away from that conversation, including one of the questions that I asked him about Jaden Daniels and whether or not this team has enough to support him as a drop back passer. If that is the way that Washington is going to be forced to play, we will discuss that. And I'll ask this question. Washington's offense, 8 of 26 on third down the past 2 weeks. Run game hasn't really been much of a factor, and the rhythm in the passing game has been non-existent. There's a multitude of different reasons for that. Which position group needs to step up in order for this Commanders offense to get back to their unstoppable ways? I'll tell you what I think next. This is the Team 980. 301-230-0980, the number right here on the Hoffman Show. Monday through Friday, 4 to 7, right here on the Team 980 and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the August in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham sitting in for Craig. One final day. He'll be back with you tomorrow. As the Commanders continue their practice week, trying to put last week behind them. Lost Sunday to Pittsburgh in heartbreaking fashion, and then the loss to Philadelphia on Thursday night, in which the defense, the dam, kind of just bust late in that fourth quarter. Offense not able to sustain much of anything offensively. Run game pretty non-existent. And once again, Jaden Daniels' legs, not a big factor in Washington's game plan offensively. What I want to look at now, we know that they struggled against Pittsburgh and Philly, more so against Philly than Pittsburgh. But in terms of, like, what's next for this group, we can sit and try and diagnose why they're struggling all we want. Bottom line is this. They play Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. And whether they've solved their problems or not, they've got to lace them up come 1 p.m. Eastern time Sunday. As we get closer to Dallas, first and foremost, I've already dubbed it. It's a must-win football game. If you want to be taken seriously as a playoff contender in the National Football League, you cannot lose to a bottom feeder like the 2024 Dallas Cowboys with Cooper Rush as their starting quarterback. You just can't. You just can't. And I get it's year one and our expectations have been recalibrated based on the start, but you can't lose to Dallas in these circumstances. Bottom line. But the bigger picture thing for me, I don't worry so much about Washington's defense because I think that group has stepped up tremendously over the past 6-7 weeks. I worry about this offense, and it's not worry. I have questions. And my big question is what position group needs to step up, get back to their winning ways the most in order for the offense as a whole to bounce back? 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll take your calls on that. I'll lead us off here. I said it earlier in the show. I look at the offensive line and the way that they performed against Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. The trickle-down effect of their poor play is so exponential that it's all on them. And I understand it's not that simple. But in terms of what's most important for Washington offensively, it's staying ahead of the chains. You were 8 of 26 on third down in those two games combined against Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Why? Because you couldn't get in those third and short situations. You couldn't get to those third and short situations. Why? Because of your lack of run game. Why has the running game struggled? I think against Pittsburgh and against Philadelphia, the interior of this offensive line struggled in a way we're not accustomed to seeing. And against Philadelphia, I think the tackles struggled in the run game as well. But in terms of what position group needs to step up in order for the offense to bounce back, I got to look at the offensive line. I look at the offensive line, and for as well as they played over the first 9 weeks, they get a lot of assistance, right? If you notice, Washington leaves backs, receivers, tight ends in the chip more than a lot of other teams in the National Football League, and as a byproduct of that, this offensive line has outkicked their coverage in terms of what our expectations were for this group going into the season. And I think against Philadelphia, you saw them struggle because they were asked to go one-on-one a lot more than they've been accustomed to. And that is a byproduct of Philly saying, okay, we like our four up front. We're going to drop seven in coverage, and we'll see if you can respond. And it muddied the picture for Jaden Daniels. He couldn't hold the ball a tick longer like he may have needed to against a defense that is confusing you and changing the picture post-snap. Like, if the offensive line plays better and you're able to have balance, I think Jaden has an easier time against a super difficult defense in Vic Fangio's bunch to prepare for on a short week. So I'm going to put it on the offensive line. Now, obviously, it's more than one position group that needs to step up. But I'm saying if there's one group that you're going to circle, if I'm forcing you to pick one and you don't have it your way, which position group needs to step up the most in order for this offense to bounce back? 301-230-0980 is the number. I look at the offensive line. If I was going to give you a close second, it'd be a tie damn near between the quarterbacks and Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels against Philadelphia looked like a rookie. And that's okay. He is a rookie. So it's okay for him to look like a rookie. What I don't want to have now, and I think I fell guilty of this, the more and more I hear them speak, and the more and more I talk to other folks, I don't think he played poorly against Philadelphia because he was hurt. I think he played poorly against Philadelphia because that defense post-snap provided him the most difficult challenge he's seen all season long. And it's part of the conversation that I had with Mark Bullock. When you have a defense that is changing the picture post-snap the way Philadelphia does and trying to run that match zone the way that Philly did, I give credit to Philly because I don't think other teams are going to be able to play the zone match as well as Philadelphia is. And the problem with playing that zone match, we saw it last year here in Washington. If you're not right, if you ain't on your P's and Q's, right, if you're not communicating, there are going to be several coverage busts trying to play that defense. And I think Thursday against Philadelphia, there were some stuff. There was some stuff that was open. I think Jaden just didn't see the field particularly well. And I'm being super critical right now. Like, I'm not saying he played bad. I'm just saying he wasn't up to the standard that we're used to. He was very average to below average. Wasn't terrible, but it's not what we're accustomed to seeing from him. And I give credit to Philadelphia, right? And it also comes to show you kind of how Washington's offense has limitations. Philly was able to get pressure with rushing four. So if you're Washington, if you leave Eckler, Sinnott, Bates, Ertz into block and chip, you're now taking guys out of the pass game and the pass concept against a defense that's playing seven in coverage. So you need as many guys out into the route as possible. That's what allows them to bracket and show extra attention to guys. So Philadelphia, what they did, kudos to them. And I give credit to Washington on a short week. It's tough to prepare for that. I'm going to shut up, though. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, your calls. Blow the lines up. 301-230-0980 is the number. What position group, if you had to finger point to one, which position group needs to step up for this offense to get back rolling Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys? Your call's next.